Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 10, okay? Romans chapter 10. I'm going to ask you this morning, how can someone be saved? Okay, I'm just going to ask you in the room this morning, how can someone have eternal life? How can they be born again? All those phrases we use are Bible phrases. When I first started studying this new age church movement, Emergent Church and Rick Warren and all this stuff, they were talking like we don't use the old expressions anymore to describe, you know, your relationship with God. They will not use the phrase born again. Okay? Well, that's a Bible phrase. That's how God put it. That's how Jesus told Nicodemus, okay, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so that, you know, they're changing the expressions, they're changing the words and things like that. And we're living in a time where there's a grand deception going on, and it's not coming out of the White House. It's not coming out of CNN. The grand deception's coming out of the pulpits of this country. Do you believe that? Say amen. And it's like I said earlier, I was just telling God, I don't have anything to offer. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have this and I don't have that. But one thing I will do for you. I don't have any righteousness in me. Amen. Can't offer God that. One of the things I will do is I will stand for the blood. Okay. Don't give me a false doctrine about the blood of Jesus Christ, because this, I ain't buying it. I'm going to believe what the Bible teaches about the blood. God's own blood is what I'm going to believe. Okay. Number two, I'm going to stand for free grace. And we were singing at Calvary a while ago. Okay, it's free. Amen. It's free. Okay, and number three, I'm going to stand for this Bible right here. I'm going to stand up for it, and I'm going to shout it from the rooftops that this is the undefiled, incorruptible Word of God. Okay, now what I ask you, and I don't have any takers yet, but how is it that somebody can be saved? How is it that they're born again and can receive a gift of eternal life that they cannot earn? How does that happen? By what method does that happen? Can a church pronounce that over you? No. If a church could pronounce it, I could just stand up over here on Buck Knob over here, this big old hill over here by the Mississippi River, and stand over there and look over Festus and Crystal City and say, y'all are saved. See how easy that would be? I can't do that. Okay, how is it that a man is saved and as a man is born again? You got your Bible in Romans 10? We're going to find out. Since y'all are not helping me, I'll just help myself, all right? You pray for me this morning that I'll make some sense and God will get me through this and maybe I get a nap in today. Amen? Anyway, Romans chapter 10. I have in my hand here something called the book. Okay? Now, it looks religious, okay? It looks religious. I was going for an NIV, but I couldn't find one real quick, and I just saw this up on the bookshelf in my office. It's an amazing place for the book to be, okay? And this is the New Living Translation. Okay, the New Living Translation. How many of you remember the Living Bible? Okay, and something you may or may not have known, the guy that translated the Living, he didn't translate it, he paraphrased the entire Word of God, put it in his own words, which is wrong. The Bible says not do that. It was a private interpretation. Some of you may not know this, but in the early publications, and they cried out to and made him change it, but he actually had the phrase SOB, In the Living Bible, okay, yeah, and so so public opinion made him change what he was telling everybody was the Word of God. You get my drift here, okay? The Bible describes of itself it is unchangeable, okay? And if you ever, and you know, probably some of you know this and some of you don't, and I want you to take your Bible, turn to 1 John 5. And this is how you can tell you ain't got the Bible. You've got a religious book, but it is not the Word of God. Okay? The Bible says of itself that it's the living Word. Okay? It's alive. It's as alive as Christ is. And if the Bible's dead, then Christ is dead. And we're all going to go to hell. Okay? It's the incorruptible. Did you know that for the 2 days that Jesus' body lay in the tomb, God would not allow his body to see corruption? You know, that's a picture, number one, of the church, his body, is that we are incorruptible. Okay? I'm talking about as born again, not as church members or you filled out a form and became a church member, but I'm saying as true born again, Bible believing Christians, okay? That body is incorruptible. God knows who he's going to save and who he's going to take up into glory. Somebody say amen. But that also tells me that his body is the bread. And the bread is the word. And for 2 days, God was able to preserve a dead corpse without it ever seeing corruption. The way that it went into the tomb is the way that it came out of the tomb, perfectly intact the way it went in there. How many of you believe that? Say amen. That's what the Bible says. And I'm just telling you that this Bible here is incorruptible. Which means that nobody can mess it up, not the real word. So they got to come up with fake ones. See, if they were to mess up this Bible, then you'd be going through your Bible and you'd be seeing gaps everywhere. Okay? Because they took stuff out. 1 John 5:7, your King James Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now, how many of you believe that? Say amen. How many of you believe that these three are one? Okay? Everybody that hates God will hate the Trinity. And they will attack that verse and they'll tell you, now that verse shouldn't be in the Bible. Okay? Now that's what the cults do. Am I right, Brady? The cults will tell you that verse should not be in the Bible. Is that verse in the new, is it in the Living, or the, what is it, New World? New World Order translation? And that's what it is. It's a New World Order translation. Okay? Charles Taze Russell's gravestone is a pyramid with a capstone on it. Okay? That tells you something right there. Okay? If you know anything about symbolism. But anyway, you cannot corrupt the true word of God. That's what the cults believe, is that they believe that verse should not be in the Bible. So here in your New Living Translation of the Bible, I'm going to read verse 7 of 1 John chapter 5. So we have these three witnesses. And then there's a line, there's a dash right there. And it immediately skips to verse 8, or part of verse 8, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree. They have taken out the doctrine of the triune Godhead, of God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. They've taken that out of the Bible. This, I'm going to tell you something, this is not the Bible. It's corrupt. It's got mistakes in it. They've taken hundreds of whole verses or partial verses completely out, and in thousands of places whole words are missing. And I'm talking about important ones, and I don't have time to get into all the places where these Bibles are just not just say it differently, they say it wrong. They're leading people to another Bible will lead people to another spirit and another gospel and another Jesus. Okay, and I didn't intend really this morning to be that forceful about it, but I don't know. I think I'm just following the Spirit here. The reason why I bring this up, Romans chapter 10, and let me read it, and I'll tell you a little story. Okay, then we're going to go someplace else in the Bible. All right, and you pray for me. I'm real tired and not thinking right and everything like that. So you just pray for me and that God will be strong in my weakness. Romans chapter 10. Last time we preached out of this, we preached in verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith, and I want you to think about faith. I want you to think about how you get faith, okay? The righteousness which is of faith, speaking on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word, not a word. Okay, it is the word. It is defined as a single entity. One thing. There's one thing in this world that is the word. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of what? Faith, which we preach. Now, watch this, okay? Faith is identified in this world as a system of beliefs. Everybody says, well, I'm of the Baptist faith, or I'm of the Catholic faith, or I'm of this particular faith and that particular faith, and that kind of spell out their doctrines, okay? The faith, in fact, look in Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God, okay? So, do you believe that it's essential that you know who God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is? How many of y'all believe that? That is one of the doctrines that we're not backing up on. Now, I don't know the day and the hour of the Lord's second coming. Amen. And if Harold Camping, who's putting these billboards all over the place, saying he's coming back, what is it, May 11th? May 21st? Okay. He's going to have some backing up to do on midnight, May 21st, May 22nd. Amen. He's going to have some backing up to do. Okay. He's going to have changes. He's going to have to do what the Jehovah's Witness always did. Every time they predicted the Lord's coming, we got a revelation. We're going to change it again. Okay, I may not know when the second coming is, but I know who God the Father is, I know who God the Son is, and I know who God the Holy Spirit is, and I know that they are three, and yet they are one. Amen? And I know that in Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what I believe. So faith cometh by hearing. My faith is I believe in the Godhood. I don't understand it, but I believe in it. If you have a Bible that does not teach the Godhead, then you don't have faith in the Godhead. Your faith is pointed in the wrong direction. Okay? Maybe I'll get off of that. All right? But anyway, I didn't really set out to preach on that, but that's just, you know, when I don't get a lot of sleep, I kind of get cranky. My wife said, "Now stop being crabby now." And she didn't quite say it that way, but I understood it. I got it. Okay? And I'm going, because I ain't kidding you. When I don't get a lot of sleep, preaching, that's when I really start preaching, because I preach mean. Amen? Hey, I'm mad. I want to go to bed. Amen? Anyway, the verse 8, what saith the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart? That is the word of faith which we preach. I'm going to preach to you the word of faith. I'm going to tell you the truth according to this Bible right here. That if thou should read verses 9 and 10 with me. Out loud, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, did you know that if we had four or five different translations of the Bible sitting in the pews, we would be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Nobody would be able to understand what it was we were confessing out loud with our mouth. Somebody say amen. And the best confession that you've got is what's written in this book right here. Somebody say amen. In our hymn books, and we don't do this, I think we ought to do it more often, they have a place in there where they have responsive and unison readings of the Word of God in our hymn books. And one of the things that the devil has accomplished in the house of God and in the church of God is taking the responsive unison reading out of the house of God, because nobody brings the same Bible. And if we were to all read 1 John 5:7, some of you would have to sit there and be quiet for about 20 seconds. While the rest of everybody else profess that they believe in the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. That's not really what I wanted to preach on this morning. Okay? That passage there in verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that is found, Paul's quoting from the Old Testament, okay? And I kind of was looking at that, and I thought, I want to find out where that is, and that's going to be in Deuteronomy 30. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'll stammer all over myself here a little bit and not make any sense, and maybe the Holy Ghost will help you this morning. And we're going to have a word of prayer, and I'll tell you a little story, all right? Tell you a little story about what happened to me. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, God. Lord, these people, they don't know what I'm going to preach yet. And Lord, I think I know what I'm going to preach, but I'm going to ask you to take over. But God, I thank you for plan B. I thank you for that, because God, I would be lost without it. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for having mercy on me. I thank you, dear God, for having mercy on my wife and my children and my household, my daughters, my sons-in-law, for my granddaughter, for my church, my friends here, God. Lord, all those who hear, I thank you, Lord, for having mercy on us, for washing our sins away. And Father, teach us, dear God, that we're saved by the word. We're saved by what's written in this book, by our belief in it, and by it being the seed of rebirth in our lives. Teach us, dear God, great and mighty things that we know not. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, dear God, Lord, that you would just guide us and help us, dear God, as we preach. And Lord, you just take over. I may have wanted to say one thing, but God, you just take over and do another. Lord, just help us, Father. Help us preach. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, what we read there in verse 8 in Romans chapter 10 is actually down in, let's see where it is. It's in verse 14, okay? And we're going to get there here in a little bit. But I was reading over this, and I'll tell you a funny story. I mentioned in the prayer a while ago about Plan B, and this is kind of what I wanted to preach this morning was Plan B. Y'all know I had shoulder surgery and this and that and the other, and I'm getting it back, kind of, okay? And it's all working, and slowly but surely I'm starting to be able to do some things that I used to do before, and praise the Lord for that. But it takes work. You know, bodily exercise does profit a little, and I'm exercising this arm to try to get back what I had before the surgery. But you know how we do? We get a little cocky. Amen? We're like three-year-olds. We think we can do more than what we really can. So one of the things that I couldn't do, and I don't understand, everybody's different, but I like to carry my wallet in my right back pocket, okay? I can't put it in my left one. It makes me lean over like this. It's almost like I'm going to tip over every time I sit down, and it hurts and everything like that. But I'm used to it being right here in my right back pocket. Well, since surgery, I couldn't put it in there, can't get it out. So I've just been carrying it around in my coat pocket, all right? And next to that 45 pistol, in case anybody wants to know. But anyway, no, I don't really have one. But anyway, and so one day I got up a couple weeks ago, and I had put my breeches on, and I had the wallet. And I'm going, you know what, I'm going to try this. And so I reached back around there, and I stuck that wallet back in there, and I'm going, ha, I can get my wallet back there. Amen. Okay? Man, I'm with it, all right. And I got Van come over here and was going to, after physical therapy, was going to pick up some lunch meat. So I go to the grocery store and I bought some lunch meat and stuff like that. And I got to the self-checkout line, rung it all up, and I went, oh! Oh, man! Oh! You know, like that. And I'm trying to get that out there, and I can't get out of there. Boy, it hurt. I mean, I just couldn't do it, okay? Now, there, you know, there's an attendant. There's self-checkout, but there's an attendant there. Now, Plan Z was the attendant helping me get this wallet out of there. Okay? That's Plan Z. So I'm standing there trying to think of 25 other plans before I get to Plan Z. Amen? Okay? So what I ended up doing, I was trying everything. I twisted my britches around a little bit. So it'd be easier to get out, and I still a struggle. Now, to this day, I don't have a wallet back there yet. Okay? I tried it yesterday. I tried putting it in and then taking it back out, and I'm going, nope, I'm not that proud. Stuck it in my coat pocket, and that's where it is. All right? Thank God for Plan B. Now, I want you to listen to this. Okay? Here, watch this now. Here is Plan A right here. Plan A was the Old Testament. Plan A was the Old Testament. Now, it's not that God tried this and it didn't work and he scratched his head and said, well, I wonder what I can do next. God's not like Mike Hoggard. Amen? God had it all figured out. But Plan A is the Old Testament. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1, God said, "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God has driven thee." What he's talking about there, if you go back, in fact, you go all through the book of Deuteronomy, especially in Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 29, God lays out the blessing and the cursing to Israel. The blessing is, if you'll keep my statutes and my laws and everything, you keep my word and you obey all this stuff, then I'm going to bless everything. I'm going to bless your cities. I'm going to bless your field. I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to bless your marriages. And I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. And you will loan to nations and won't have to borrow from them. That's what God said. You won't be in debt. Others will be in debt to you, but you will not be in debt. That's what God said. And so God laid all this out. He said, if you'll just keep my laws and keep my statutes, then I'll bless you. And that really was the way it was in the Old Testament. That if you kept the laws of God, as long as Israel had a righteous heart before God, and they said, you know what, we're going to keep the Passover, we're going to keep the feast, we're going to have priests, we're going to bring sacrifices, there's going to be a daily sacrifice, we're going to do all these. As long as they did that with a pure heart, God blessed Israel. You go through the book of Judges, and that's what you'll see. You'll see God blessing Israel. But then he turned it around. He said, if you won't keep my statutes, you won't keep my laws, if you break my covenant, if you go against my commandments, I'm waving my hand because I'm testifying to you that that is the story of Mike Hoggard. That is the story of my life, is that I cannot keep the law, cannot keep the commandments, cannot, I break them. And I can't do it. I cannot keep the law of God. And don't sit there and smile at me like you're better than me, because I know you're not. You little heathen. Hey, I told you, I need some sleep. You're a liar. You're a thief. You're an adulterer. You're a murderer. Don't tell me you never hated somebody, wanted them dead. Don't tell me that. Amen? And I know you don't want to testify, because this might end up in a court of law. But I'm just telling you, you've broken God's law. And notice what God said here. It shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God have driven thee. You know what he was saying there? He said, I already know how it's going to end up. I gave you the blessing, and for a while you'll be blessed because you'll try to keep the law. But what's going to happen is you're going to break the laws, and I already know that you're going to be driven out from the land that I've given you, and you're going to be scattered to the nations. And really, that's how it is in our lives when we start backsliding on God. Is all of a sudden things start scattering in our lives. We can't hold it together anymore. Somebody say amen. We see the scattering going on in our lives, and there's nothing consistent, there's nothing right in our lives, and God does in our lives what he said he will do. And so God's saying here, I've given you plan A. Plan A is keep the testaments and don't ever break them. But I know that you are. So even before the foundation of the world, God drew up plan B. Here's plan B right here. It's the New Testament in Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Now, honestly, that was the message. That's it. I'm done. Now, I'm going to give you a couple more things here, and then I want to get back to this Bible issue, all right? He said in verse 2, thou shalt return to the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And let me throw this in, okay? In the Old Testament, when you kept the commandments, you had to not murder, you had to not steal, you had not commit adultery, you had to not covet, you had to not lie, you had to honor the Sabbath day, you had to honor your parents. That was the obedience of God's laws in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, how many laws are there in the New Testament? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two New Testament commandments that Christ enjoins us to keep. Okay? And loving is a whole lot easier than obeying these Ten Commandments. Somebody say amen. But God's got to put a spirit in you to where you love God. Amen? God's got to put a spirit in you and you love God. And when you find yourself in a situation where you don't give a flip about God, you don't care about the Bible, you don't care about praying, you don't care about preaching, you don't care about nothing but what you have your sorry, low-down mind intent on doing, then you don't love God, you love yourself. Okay, so go to a Joyce Meyer's deal, all right? Because she'll give you full of that stuff. She'll teach you to love yourself. But anyway, this is what God said. Now, verse 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. I want you to notice that word compassion. God has compassion on you, just like you have compassion upon your children. That when your children do something wrong and you punish them for that, and they're weeping and they're wailing, and I want to tell you, boy, they turn on the waterworks and they turn on the face, and we look at them and we have pity on them, we have compassion on them, and we say, you know what? I want them to have a right relationship with their mom and daddy. How many of you can say amen to that? I want my children to have a good, right relationship with mom and dad. That's what I want more than anything in this world, is for my family to have a good, right relationship with their mom and dad. Amen. Okay? And so what it takes is, I'll have compassion on them, and it doesn't matter if they do something wrong, I will forgive them. I will have mercy on them. I will not hold what they did 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I will not hold that against them. I will forgive them and I will love them because they are my child, and that's how it is with you and your God. Somebody say amen. He's not holding a grudge against you. He's not saying, well, you know what? I know I said I forgive you, but... That's you're worshiping the wrong God if your God has that kind. Amen? He has compassion on you. Oh, let's see here. I want to move on down. I want you to look at verse 5. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. He's talking about heaven. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Now look at verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. See, in the Old Testament, the law of circumcision was applied to the males, okay, to the men. That was the circumcision of the flesh. The New Testament circumcision is circumcising the heart. You know what God means by that? Getting rid of the whole body of flesh from away from your soul, from away from your heart. And I want to tell you what, isn't that where we want to be one of these days? Say amen. Listen, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the flesh. I'm aching this morning. My knee hurts. My back hurts. My shoulder hurts. And I just have days. I have days now when some of this weather moves in. I'm a miserable wreck for what's going on in my body. I have emotions that I don't like. I get crabby every now and then, and I don't like being crabby because that's not me. And I say things that are rude and hateful, and I don't like that because I love people and I don't want to be that way. And I don't tell you, I think things, say things, see things, talk things. I mean, just a whole gamut of things. My five senses are killing me. And I don't want this body anymore. Now, I'm not building up a suicide cult here, because I know God will take care of it in His time. Amen? But here's what God said He'll do. He said He'll circumcise your heart. That means He'll remove this old bag of flesh that you got that makes you do stupid stuff and stuff that you don't want to do. He'll remove that and He'll give you a new heart and a new body and a new will and a new desire. Somebody say amen. That's what God will do. He said, and by the way, you don't circumcise yourself. Okay? You don't do that. God does it for you. It's not how good you promised God that you were going to be. It's how good God promised you that He was going to be. And the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. In order to love God, you've got to get the flesh out of the way. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. All the things that God cursed you with, because of your sinfulness, God removes from you and He puts it on your enemies. And your enemies are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. In verse 8, He said, thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand and in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as He rejoiced over thy fathers. Now I want you to stop and consider this verse here for a minute, because God is our Father. I keep making this illustration to children. I didn't become a theologian really until after Lisa and I had our first child, Lindsay. And at that point I started understanding the relationship of a parent to a child. And God was showing me, Mike, this is how it is. And over the course of the years of you raising children, you're going to see more and more and more of that. And I'm just stand in awe and amazement at what God shows me through my children. Somebody say amen. Okay? And I want to tell you something. I don't like it when my kids disobey me. I don't like it when I tell them to do something, or Lisa will tell them to do something, and they just don't do it, or they go do the opposite thing. I just don't like that. And that puts me at odds with my own children. How many of y'all know that? Say amen. I mean, we are at odds with our children. And then the kids, especially when they get to a certain age, then they're at odds with us too. But what works is what God says. I'm going to circumcise your heart, and I'm going to bring you back into land, and I'm going to do good things in you, and I'm going to make you plenteous in everything that you do. And He said, oh, by the way, He said, I'm going to again rejoice over thee for good. God is a rejoicing God. Somebody say amen. He is a rejoicing God. God rejoices. God sees the turmoil that we get into. God sees the sin that we get into. He sees the disobedience we get into. And He has to separate Himself from that sin. But God said, when you repent, then I'll put a change in you. I'll give you a clean heart. I'll do a good thing in you. By the way, repenting one time is great. But if you go out and sin again, repent again. And if you sin, repent. And if you sin some more, repent some more. Amen. It's when you stop repenting, that's when trouble starts really taking over in your life. A good example of a good, honest, Bible-believing Christian is that they will have a repentant heart toward their God, and they'll have a fear of God. Did you know the Bible says that God will preserve them that fear Him? He preserves. That's the doctrine of preservation.
of the saints, and it applies to those that fear Him. That means that I know what God can do to me. And I repent. Because you know what I want more than anything? I want to rejoice in God, but I want God to rejoice in me. And God will always be waiting for you to come to your senses and come to your head and say, God, what a fool I've been. What mistakes I've made. What things that I said I'd never do again. God, what a fool I've been. God, I repent. God, I love you. God, I want you to be my God. God, I don't want to go to hell. And I want to tell you what, that brings the rejoicing of heaven down inside your soul. And I want to tell you something. When God's, you know how that phrase, when mama's happy, everybody's happy? Listen, when God's happy, you're happy. When God's happy with you, I promise you, you will be happy with God. That's just how it works. Somebody say amen. Okay? So verse 10, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are what? Written. It didn't say the preachers would make it up as they go. Amen. He didn't say, now, you know, in 14 other translations, it might have said this at one time. That is not what God said. God gave us a gift of not the esoteric secret, well, only the priest or the preachers can tell us what it means. God said, I'll write it down for you and make it plain upon tables so that he that readeth it will run. That's what God said he'll do. And I want to tell you something, the same blessing that I can preach to you out of this Bible is the same blessing you can get tomorrow morning by reading out of the same Bible. I had a lot of different ideas on things to preach this morning. I'm probably just trying to throw them all in here, but I'm just kind of following the text. And I want to tell you something. Some of you need revival in your soul. You need revival in your heart. And revival will not come if I call an evangelist in here. I don't care if it's Reg Kelly, Mike Hutzel, I don't care who it is. Revival will not come by bringing an evangelist. And revival will come when you sit down with a tearful eye and a sorrowful heart and you get along with God and say, God, I'm filthy. I'm sorry, God. God, I need something. And God said, well, get the Bible out and I'll give you all that you can handle for one day. What you need is a Bible revival. Bible revival. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, then you need Bible salvation. There are people out there that will tell you that you'll be saved by any other thing other than the Bible. And I'm here to tell you, if this Bible's not the incorruptible Word of God, we're not saved. We're not saved. Okay? And I'm going to show you that. He said, these statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Now, why don't you look at verse 11. This is a renunciation of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans that Jesus said he hated in the book of Revelation. The word Nico means to conquer, a king. Laitanes is the laity. Okay? Did you know that the qualifications of a preacher is not that he's to be better than everybody else. It's not the Levite priests weren't. They were not. In fact, before they offered a sacrifice for the family, they had to go give one for themselves. Qualifications for a preacher is that he's to preach the word. The words of God. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans is that the clergy were conquering and lording over the laity. If I could, the Watchtower Society was full of the doctrine of Nicolaitans. The Watchtower Society said, here's our booklets, and when you get up in your little meeting halls, then you say everything we tell you to say and don't stray from it. That's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. They told all those people, you don't have a right to translate or understand the Bible other than what we tell you to understand. The Mormon Church does the same thing. They'll tell you, they have a prophet who's an apostle who will tell, he'll tell you what God wants you to know. And if you don't hear it from him, you're not getting it. Now, those are the cults. The Roman Catholic Church is the same way. They'll tell you, don't listen, they've relaxed their stand. They'll say, well, okay, we'll let you read our approved Bibles, which is just as corrupt as that one I had in my hand right here. In fact, they're all the same lie. But really, don't you dare think independently. We will tell you what to believe. And there's people pulling in Catholic churches all over the country this morning, going there eating a little cookie and drinking a little juice and having the priest say words over them and think that they're going to inherit eternal life. They're not. OK? okay? And it's coming out of the Protestant pulpits in this country. When the preacher will tell you, see what you have in your hand right here? That's not really the Bible. That's what they're telling everybody. Am I telling you the truth? Gary, am I saying it right? They're telling you this is not really the Bible. The original Bible is in the original languages in Hebrew and Greek that I know that you don't. And if you really want to know what the real Bible says, then I will ascend up to heaven for you and go get it for you and bring it back down. That's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Okay? Now look what it said. Verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not what? If I were to go in my office and get my Greek New Testament and bring it out here, who would be able to read it? Not only do you not know the language, you probably could not read the letters. That is a gospel that is hidden. And God said, the word that I'm giving you is not hidden. Now everybody's got their Bible, right? Y'all read the exact same verse that I did. Amen? That means it's not hidden from you and it's not hidden from me either. You have it. You have it. In fact, answers of problems that creep up in your life, Jeremy, and I'm not just singling you out because, Jeremy's got big problems. You got to see this guy. Okay? Problems in your life that creep up. Did you know that, I don't mind you making a phone call and saying, Pastor Mike, what does the Bible say about this? But you know what I'm going to tell you? Hey, get along with Jesus and get your Bible out and start. What did I always tell you? What did I tell you for years that I wanted both you boys to do? Put that stupid New World Translation and get rid of that Book of Mormon. Get away from those rascals at the halls over there and get out in the woods somewhere with your King James Bible and pray and say, God, show me the Word of God. Show me the Word of God. And did you know that it was not me that saved Brady Crum? It was not me that saved Bradley Crum. Because I want to tell you, that morning he come over to church that morning and started telling me all that stuff. The Word was nigh him, even in his mouth, because God began to give me things to say to him, and he finished them. You know where he finished them from? The King James Bible. He knew the Word was already, the seed of the Word of God was already planted in his soul. And bless God, I want to tell you what, it started blooming. Amen. He may be an idiot, but he's a blooming idiot. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, that's how it works. He was not led to the real Jesus by the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith. That's not how it was. Brady was not led to the real Jesus by taking a few applied verses out of the New World Translation. What he started doing was he started reading this one. And the seed was sown in his heart, and he's saved. And he's just the same blooming as his blooming brother. Amen? The Word is not hidden. And any religious doctrine, I don't care what pulpit, I don't care if it comes out of this one. If I ever go off the deep end and tell you this nonsense, you run me out. The doctrine and the gospel of Jesus Christ is not hidden. It's in plain sight. You just won't read it. That's your problem. You'll be off in the world somewhere this week, and you're just trouble and turmoil and everything like that. And I know how it is. You'll know that the answer is right here in this book. And 99 times out of 100, all you got to do is go like that. Amen? But you won't do that. And if you won't do that, there will be no revival. Okay? The Christian cults in this world want to tell you that revival comes if I lay hands on you and you flop on the ground. Oh, he's got the Holy Ghost. Look at him. They'll tell you that's not revival. It is hogwash. You know what? You want hands laid on you? Here's two of them, left and right. Amen. Get some hands laid on your soul. Somebody say amen. Get your Bible out and you start reading your Bible. You doubt your salvation? Read your Bible. God will put it back in you. Amen? You doubt your future? Read your Bible. God will show you the straight path. You find yourself in a dark place? I've been in some of them dark places. I've been in the dark places of my heart. I've been in the dark places of my emotions. I've been in the dark places of sin. And I will tell you what, you get the Bible out and start reading it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I don't know. I tell you what. Just get the Bible out. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven? And that's something else. When you start telling everybody about the doctrine of the incorruptible Bible, that the Bible's perfect, and you read them the verse, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know what these guys will say? Well, yeah, it says it's up in heaven. Liar! It's not in heaven. There's a copy in heaven. He's called Jesus Christ. Yeah. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here it is right here. He said, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and undo it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee and in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Now back to Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to finish. How is a man saved? Back in verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. By the way, Rick Warren's one of the biggest false prophets in America. Rick Warren had a deal on his website the other day. He announced, we're going to have baptism Sunday night, 7:30. So anybody wants to be baptized, just show up. That's heresy. He's telling you that if you'll get in the water with him, then you'll be saved. That is heresy. It makes me mad. It makes me mad. Because he has multitudes of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people all over the world that follow him. And he's not giving them the word of God. He's giving them a false gospel. I'm teaching in Sunday school how to spot false prophets. And that's one of them. They will always turn you away from the true gospel. Okay? But anyway, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Anytime I've ever sat down with somebody wanted to lead them to Jesus, I never told them, now meet me at the baptistry now. And if I baptize you the right way, then you'll be saved. That's not how it is. The word of God is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Remember the thief on the cross? Was he saved? Yeah. You know how I know? Because he qualified under these conditions. Number one, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. There he is. And he looks at Jesus and he says, Lord. Yep. He got it. Amen. He knew that Jesus was Lord. He knew that he was the King of kings and Lord of lords. And even though Pontius Pilate and Rome and the heretics of Israel had him nailed to the cross, he still knew that he was King of kings and Lord of lords. Knew that he was. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to tell you something, you want to be saved, you better, if you want to really be saved and go to heaven when you die, quit making your own rules. A Lord tells you what to do. You don't tell the Lord what to do. Amen? The Lord tells you what to do. He controls your life. He runs your life. He dictates the show. He's the one that's leading you through the valley of the shadow of death. He's the one that's doing that. You're not doing it on your own. And number two, and shalt believe in that heart that God had raised him from the dead. Here he is, thief on the cross. He said, Lord. And he sees Jesus and he knows that he's within minutes of death. But he already believes that after death, he's going to be raised back to life again. He said, so Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen. And did Jesus say, now, if I could, I would lay hands on you. And you would be full of the Holy Ghost. Is that what happened? Because see, when you crucify yourself, you can't move. You can't do anything. You can't bow. You can't cross yourself. You can't throw money in the plate. You can't splash. You can't do anything. Nothing. Except confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. And there's a lot of people out here, pseudo-Christians, who will not confess with their mouth. When they get outside the safety zone of the church, you will never hear them confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not saved. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. That is what the word, the pure... You know, I'm almost tempted to get that. Can I do it? Can I take 1 minute? Jacob's going, yeah. What is this, Romans? Well, bless God, they got the book of Romans in here. They didn't take it all out yet. What verse? Boy, they didn't even put the verses in here very well. You can't find them. What verse are we in? 10? Well, it's hard to find. Salvation that comes through trust in Christ. See, they got it wrong here. In the King James, verse 8, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart." They've taken out the word here, and it says salvation that comes through trusting Christ. And the message we preach, it says nothing about the Bible. See what I mean? They'll tell you that you can be saved any other way, but I'm here to tell you. You don't need me to pronounce that you're saved. You don't need me to meet you down at the altar. You don't need me. I dug up a deal. I'm going to close. I dug up a deal this week of a guy that I met in this church. His name was Max Palmer. When he died, he was 8 feet, 2 inches tall. He was called a giant for Jesus. He used to be in the movies. He's big, big old boy. So he played monsters in movies, you know, these 1950s movies and stuff like that. And he was a wrestler. They called him Paul Bunyan. That was his wrestling name. Okay, he was in Hollywood, he was in the wrestling industry, which means he was a drunk and a fornicator. Amen? Okay, you know what I did yesterday? I prayed for, what's this guy, it's on Two and a Half Men, Charlie Sheen. You know, I prayed for him. You know what he's wanting to do? He's wanting to quit his TV show and open up a video porn company with him as the star. And I found myself praying for his soul. He's going to burn in hell. Okay, but old Max Palmer, that's the way he was. I mean, he was a big old fornicator and a drunk and everything else and all this stuff. And he got to the end of his rope with it. I mean, just sin just runs out and leaves you hanging dry. Amen. Checked himself into an old dirty motel with a pistol and a bottle of whiskey. And he sat down on the bed there and poured him a shot and drank it. And when he reached over, this is back before they hid him in the drawers. When he reached over to grab his pistol, his hand laid on that Gideon King James Bible. He'd never had a Bible in his hand before, and he opened it up, and the Gideons, they would put verses right at the front page to show you how you can have eternal life. And for the very first time, he read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only." For the very first time, he read, "That thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." For the very first time, he read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And right there in that motel room, after taking that shot of whiskey, he got down on his knees, confessed his sins before God, and he said, "God save me." Man, God saved him. 1982, he came to church here to minister here. God called him to preach, and well, what a testimony he had. Big old rascal. I mean, huge guy. We took him out to eat afterward. His wife was 4 feet 11 inches tall. And we took him down to a buffet down here called Frida's. I don't know if it's still there or not. Took him down to Frida's down there because we figured if he's going to eat, he's going to need a buffet. And she was running herself ragged, bringing him big old plates of food. I mean, he was just down in it. I mean, just right and left, you know. And he died 2 years later. And I'll see him. Because the preacher didn't save him. And the church didn't save him. And the water didn't save him. It was the Word of God. And what you need to do is you need to get home in your doubts and your frustrations and your aches and pains and everything like that and get your King James Bible out. And you need to have God soothe your soul with the words, the incorruptible words. What I preach to you today is corruptible because it's part of it's my words and it won't last. But the Bible is incorruptible in your soul and God will fix it. Do you believe that? Say amen. I want you to stand to our feet. Thank you for bearing with me. I'm tired as I can be right now, but I want us to pray. And I want to ask you this morning, if you're not saved, if you're here this morning, you're not saved. I mean, if you come down here, I'm going to show you from the Bible how to be saved. I'm going to give you verses of Scripture. It's called the Romans Road of Salvation. That's what I'll do. If you're here this morning and you're backslid and you got an issue and you just want to visit with me for a while, I'll show it to you from the Bible, what the Bible says about it. I'm not a counselor. I'm going to let God counsel you. But I want to encourage you today. God has gone to great lengths throughout history to make sure that you have the preserved, incorrupt word in your hand. And it's not hidden from you. He's made sure that it wasn't hidden from you. And I like you coming to church, and I don't mind you calling me every now and then, but really the answer to your problems in your life is going to be found by you in the Scriptures, and the Holy Ghost is going to lead you to that. Even if you're just if you go out this week and you just are absolutely as sorry as dirt this week, God will fix that stuff with the Bible. You need a Bible revival, people. It's nigh thee. It's even in your heart. And that's how God's speaking to you to now. So this morning, I want to just lead in a word of prayer. If you'd like to come down one of these altars and you come down and you pray, If you'd like to see me maybe after the service, say, Pastor Mike, I need to know that I'm going to heaven. I'll visit with you. Okay? But really, go home, get your Bible out, and read it. God will heal you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for the Bible. Lord, the Bible conquers everything. It conquers the sin, it conquers the emotions, it conquers the aches and the pains, it conquers everything, it conquers sin, it conquers everything. The Bible is a sword. And it's the shield. And it's the breastplate. It's everything. The Bible is everything. And Lord, I grieve in the days that we live in right now, people going to church services all over this country that are not being given the word, that are not being given the only thing that'll save them. And God, Lord, if you don't do anything with this church but help us to stand for this old Bible, dear God, then that's what we'll do. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, there's somebody here, Lord, that's lost, that you'd save them through the word. Father, somebody here this morning backslid, God, that through the word you'll bring them back. Lord, if there's somebody here that got questions, Lord, through the word you'll give them answers. They need healing, God. He sent his word and healed them, Father. Lord, heal them through the word. They need to know how to conduct business. Lord, give them wisdom. Every issue of life, dear God, right there in the Bible. Thank you, God, for not hiding it from us, but for making it real. Lord, bless this congregation. Give them your love. And Lord, bring them back and be with them and visit with them, dear God. I love you, and they love you, and I pray, dear God, Lord, you'd love us back. We ask you to dismiss us now in your care. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.